Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur like you. I'm here to learn and here to teach. So let's enjoy the ride together. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Zuhl, and in this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. Recently, I had the pleasure of watching the movie Good Night, Oppie. If you're not familiar with it, the film was released in 2022. It is a documentary that's available on Amazon Prime. It was produced and directed by Ryan White and is narrated by Angela Bassett. So far, it's won 5 Critics' Choice Awards, and I know that it's up for other nominations as well. The film tells the story of the twin rovers Spirit and Opportunity, which launched to Mars in 2003, about 3 weeks apart. The rovers were originally supposed to operate for only 90 days on Mars, or 90 sols, but Spirit lasted for 5 years, and Opportunity lasted for nearly 16 years. The film, which features lots of archival and interview footage with scientists, engineers, and the launches, and it also has recreations of the rover's treks on the Martian landscape in search of water. The animation is simply incredible in this movie. The missions were supposed to last 90 sols on Mars. The engineers and the scientists viewed them as more than just robots on another planet. One of the great things that I loved about the film was the music. Some of the songs are wake-up songs. Some of the ones that stuck out to me were Rome by the B-52s, and the lyrics to that really fit what a Mars rover does. The song SOS by ABBA was really fitting when they were trying to get Spirit to communicate after losing signal. Probably my favorite song of the bunch was when they played Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, as they were waiting for Opportunity to wake up after the long winter and a dust storm, which she eventually did. There's some very interesting things about the rovers. They kind of have personalities. Spirit is kind of an unlucky rover. All through testing and even on Mars, it was the first one to develop problems. Opportunity, on the other hand, was the lucky rover. It always did better in tests, and it outperformed on Mars as well. The rovers also had some autonomy in them, so once they landed, and I'm kind of jumping ahead by getting to how they landed, but once they landed, they were able to rove around and see obstacles, and in some cases, they could be spooked by their own shadow, which would cause a problem, and the engineers would have to give it a signal that it's just your shadow, it's okay. So one of the most treacherous things about the entire mission for both rovers was the way that they landed. As the rovers approached Mars, the landers went through the Martian atmosphere to slow them down, eventually opening a parachute, slowing them down even more. To further break, rockets were fired, bringing the landers to almost 0 miles per hour in their fall. At that point, airbags inflated, and the rover was surrounded inside of a ball of airbags. The ball was dropped from about 20 meters and bounced along the Martian surface until it came to a stop. Once it stopped, the airbags deflated and the rover unfurled itself on its landing platform. After all the systems came up, each rover drove off the platform to begin exploring the surface of Mars. So the rovers are very interesting in that they look like they have eyes. They also stand at a height of 5'3", which is the average height of a human. So unintentionally, they did have some human characteristics. The rovers themselves were a $1 billion national asset. So not only the engineers and scientists, but all the workers involved were careful because they knew how important this was. The rovers were designed to be identical twins, as I said, but Spirit was definitely the troublesome twin. Again, landing a rover on Mars like this was something that had never been done before, and the engineers felt that after several recent failures that NASA had going to Mars, that these rovers needed to succeed. They actually felt that if they failed, it would be the end of NASA. Sol 1 for Spirit, the drama queen, began on January 4th, 2004, when it landed on Mars. Opportunity landed a few weeks later. Spirit, which again was the troublesome rover, had experienced a busted wheel a couple years into the mission. Well, I'm jumping ahead. The missions were designed to last for 90 days. After 90 days, both rovers still had power, and the engineers and scientists felt, all right, now we have free time, let's go out and really explore. The biggest deterrent that both rovers had to deal with was the dust on Mars. Because both rovers were solar powered, dust would land on the solar panels, and they would get less and less energy every day. Fortunately, Mars has frequent dust devils, and those dust devils would come by, and if they came by one of the rovers, it would almost miraculously clear all the dust off of the solar panels. Because of that, both rovers were able to extend their missions well beyond the 90 days. Spirit lasted until May 25th, 2011, more than 7 years after landing on Mars. Opportunity lasted until February 12, 2019, after a total of 5,352 sols. But Opportunity did quite a bit more than just roam around Mars for 16 years. When Opportunity landed, it landed smack dab in the middle of a small crater. It was a bullseye. One of the engineers described it as if you were to hit a golf ball from Los Angeles and have it strike the doorknob at Buckingham Palace. That was the accuracy that they had to have to land where they landed. The crater where Opportunity landed actually had bedrock in it, and they discovered some very, very interesting things. After Opportunity climbed out of the crater, it went exploring. Opportunity spent years traversing to Endeavour Crater, where it actually spent quite a bit of time studying it, and it found evidence of neutral pH water in Mars's past. A huge discovery. Several of the scientists and engineers that were highlighted in the film are Steve Squires, the principal scientist, who is a geologist by training. He was disappointed that there were no new places to discover on Earth. He felt that a rover on Mars would fulfill his need for new discoveries and start the search for evidence of water on Mars. He worked on the project for 16 years before the launch. Jennifer Tropser was the mission manager. She grew up on a farm. Her father was an aerospace engineer. And she never would have imagined that one day she would become the mission manager for twin rovers on Mars. In fact, the rovers launched from the same launch pads that launched the missions that her father worked on. Dr. Vandy Verma became a rover driver. In 2018, after a dust storm, communication with Opportunity was lost. They kept trying and trying to reach the rover, but unfortunately, Opportunity had reached the end of its life. The mission had ended. As the movie came to a close, there was a great quote by one of the engineers who worked on the project. He said, "Some people think that planetary exploration is very foreign, but I always remind them, you know, when your fathers walked the planet, the first thing they did is they looked to the heavens. And what did they see? Constellations and stars, wonderful things. What did they do with that? They used the heavens to come up with a calendar to know when to plant and when to harvest. And they did it from the confines of Earth. So planetary exploration has been with us from the beginning, and we're using it the same way that our forefathers have done for generations, to make life better on Earth." I urge all of you to watch this film. It's interesting, it's inspiring, it's emotional, and it's absolutely beautifully done. The animation where they create what Mars looks like and the rovers roaming around, these are views that we didn't have, but they were able to imagine them, and they are just spectacular. So I would take the time. It's an hour and 40-minute movie. It's well worth the watch. Check it out. Let me know what you think. If you've seen any headlines recently, you must have seen things like Amazing Green Comet, not seen since the Stone Ages. News organizations are making this out to be a bit more spectacular than it really is. You see, this comet, which comes from the Oort cloud, won't be a naked-eye spectacle like Comet Hale-Bopp or even Comet Neowise was in 2020. It will, however, be easy to spot with binoculars or a small telescope. The best viewing of this comet will come over the next few weeks, although the moon will interfere a bit. The good news is that the comet will be circumpolar, meaning that it won't set below the horizon for viewers in the northern hemisphere for several weeks. In the next couple of weeks, the comet will slowly glide its way past the Big and Little Dippers. As I record this on January 16, 2023, you still need to get up a few hours before sunrise to catch a glimpse of the comet in the northeastern skies. But by the 29th of January, the comet will only be 10 degrees away from Polaris. It will be visible all night long. On the 31st, the waxing gibbous moon will be about 50 degrees away from the comet. As the comet makes its closest approach to Earth on February 2nd, it will be about 26.5 million miles away from us. The good news is, as we get closer to the end of January and the beginning of February, the comet will be up early in the evening when it's more convenient to spot. As of now, visual estimates have the comet glowing between magnitude 6.5 and 7. When the comet peaks in brightness between the end of January and into the first week of February, the comet should be between 5th and 6th magnitude. If you're under very dark skies, you might be able to spot it with the unaided eye, but binoculars or a telescope will make spotting the comet an easy task, even if you're in an area with light pollution. You can locate finder charts online at skyandtelescope.org or theskylive.com. So make sure to get out there and try to spot it. Remember, it won't be around again for another 50,000 years. Well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you found our time together to be fun and helpful. If you have questions or episode suggestions, please email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. If you're not already a member, please join the Astro Guy Podcast group on Facebook. You'll find other members, videos, blogs, and lots of other useful information there for your enjoyment. You can also visit our YouTube channel, The Astro Guy Podcast, for past episodes and other surprises. Please subscribe. It would be great if you could consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform. It helps us to get new listeners. Thank you again for listening, and may your skies be clear. As always, carpe noctem, seize the night.
I'm Wayne Zuhl, and this was the Astro Guy Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. Keep wondering. Keep your eyes on the sky. Have fun. Carpe noctem. Seize the night.